And welcome to the Rick House. My name is Cyrus Farmer, and you are watching and listening to the Stomp the Tea podcast. Folks, let me tell you what we're going to be getting into tonight. I think you're actually going to enjoy the show quite a bit. We're going to be talking about my second child, Rohan Farmer. Apparently, he's a sophomore in college, but apparently he needs a car. So we're going to be talking about all the dynamics involved with that, parenting and otherwise. I'll take you through the whole rundown. I think you'll enjoy it. We're also going to be talking a little bit about the NBA trades that happened about a week and a half ago, and also some of the free agency moves, some of the trades that have happened in the NFL ahead of free agency. I think there have been some interesting things there as well. And of course, everyone's favorite segment, what are you drinking tonight? So, but first, I want to take you guys through a little bit of a experience that I had this past week. I think it definitely bears noting, and I want to give you as many details as possible. So I ordered a pair of Speed Bold Squares golf shoes. I ordered them on December 30th of 2024. I have a pair of Squares golf shoes. I think most of you out there are familiar with the brand. If you're not familiar with the brand, it's a golf shoe that kind of has a square toe box. It's supposed to help improve your game. Nick Faldo endorses them, so on and so forth. I do like the Squares product. I think it's a good shoe. Obviously, it can only improve your game, I think, if it improves your game. It's made zero difference in my game, by the way. I shoot about the same, whether I'm wearing Squares golf shoes or whether I'm barefoot. So, you know, maybe I'm an anomaly. But that being said, I do like the shoes. I like the product. So I ordered a second pair of Squares. And again, this was on December 30th of 2024. They were on sale. These Speed Bowls, they were on clearance for $80, this shoe. So I ordered a pair of the shoes and a second Squares golf bag to carry my shoes in. I didn't receive the actual shoe carrier from Squares until January 29th of 2025. This is like basically a couple of months ago. And so it's literally a full month from the time I placed my order to the time I receive the shoe bag, but not the shoes. Okay, that happens, end of the year crunch. I'm sure everyone's very, very busy. So I wait. I still didn't receive the shoes, and I reached out to them on February 22nd. of this year, February 22nd, I wrote an email to Squares and said, hey, I ordered, you know, a pair of shoes about 6 weeks ago. Where are my shoes? And after providing them with my order number and the email associated with the order and, you know, uploading pictures of the confirmation email that I received from them, they informed me, Squares, they informed me that they had experienced a glitch, essentially, on their website that allowed customers to order shoes that they no longer had in inventory. Okay. That could happen to anyone. It's not the end of the world. What does Squares do? Squares said, well, Cyrus, we can either refund you the $80 that you were paying for the on sale shoe product that you were attempting to buy, or we will let you pick another pair of any of our shoes that we sell as an even swap, and we will get that to you. Okay. Folks, I have to tell you, I ended up settling. I want the second pair of golf shoes. I like squares. So I did not take the $80 refund. I ended up going with a pair of Pro S2 golf shoes in white and navy. Folks, I have to tell you, squares, when I informed them of my choice, they practically immediately responded to me via email and said, we'll get that order placed in our system and we will get you those shoes as soon as we can. They FedExed the shoes to me. I got them in less than 24 hours. This all took place from reaching out to them on the 22nd of February. By the 24th of February, I had the replacement shoes. Now, folks, I have to tell you, even though my original order was a pair of shoes that were on sale, squares went out of their way because of the inconvenience to me, their customer, and replaced it with a pair of full-priced golf shoes. Squares is not a sponsor. This is my second pair of squares, like I said. I like their product quite a bit, but I will tell you, I love, and I mean L-O-V-E, love their customer service. They did a great job. And as soon as they were made aware of the issue, and I could send them any documentation that I had on my end, always take pictures, always keep emails, documentation is important. They responded immediately. Like I said, they responded within 36 hours. I had the shoes within 48 hours of my initial reach out. So kudos to Squares. You guys do a great, great job. You have a wonderful product. Again, my lousy golf game has nothing to do with the quality of your actual shoe. So I want to say thank you. And I firmly endorse all that you do, Squares. You guys are a fantastic company. I wish you continued success. Okay. I wanted to get that off my chest. Now, speaking of off my chest, Rohan needs a car. Who's Rohan? Rohan is my son. He is a sophomore at UC Santa Cruz. All right. Very proud of him. He's doing a great job out there, working hard, studying, and all that other stuff, which is fantastic. Got a text from Rohan last weekend, literally last weekend. And he told myself and my wife, I think I need a car. Now, just a little context so you know who Rohan is. Again, he's a sophomore. He's living in an apartment on campus. He has about five roommates. Now, those of you who may not be familiar with the campus of UC Santa Cruz, it's very hilly, a lot of elevation changes, all right? So it can be a tough walk for anyone of any age. And I have to say that he let us know that it had been tough for him because he's living in an apartment now. He's not part of the meal plan in his second year at school. He buys groceries. So he said, you know, it's been tough for him to getting his groceries back to the apartment, as well as getting to and from class on any given day, in addition to going to his job. You know, he has a work-study job there on campus. And he said the whole thing has been I'll put it in his words. He said it's been tough for him to get groceries and getting to and from his job and his classes without a trunk, something to place the groceries in, or wheels, a car, to get you from A to B. Now, no one he knows, none of the five people he's roommates with, or any of his friends, have a car for him to borrow, he told us. And, you know, he said that all these trips are just wearing him out physically. Okay, I understand that. Now, folks, to his credit, and, you know, I have two children and I'm proud of both of them. And I always try to give them credit whenever I can. And this is me giving Rohan credit. To his credit, he explained that he doesn't really know anything about getting a car. But he says it doesn't have to be expensive. He says it can be old, doesn't have to be shiny. He says as long as it runs and it's safe, that's good for Rohan. Okay, that's fine. Now, I just want to say this up front, folks, just so you know where I'm coming from as a parent. I'm not one of these people who talks about how when I was your age, I walked 6 miles one way in the snow to school with holes in my shoes. No, I'm not one of these people, all right? My experience was my experience. My children's experiences are their experiences, just like young people's experiences are young people's experiences, whether they're related to me or not. You can argue whether or not society has gotten softer, but it's a very subjective argument. It's not necessarily objective. We don't know what it's like growing up in 2025 because we're already grown. So, be that as it may, I will say that as a full-time student with a job, I'm sure that he would benefit a great deal by having a car to help get him from A to B and all of that stuff. I get all of that. So I answered this group text by telling Rohan, thanks for reaching out. Thanks for letting us know. We will get back to you next weekend, which is a couple of days from now as I'm recording this. This is obviously Thursday night. I have to say, I have zero doubt that my son could use a car to get from A to B, to get to his job, to get groceries, all that stuff. I don't doubt that for a second. Yeah, I mean, it's tough terrain to navigate. I get that completely. But does he need a car? Who knows? But I will say this. The expense of getting Rohan a car as a sophomore in college who is not bringing in any income, whose job, the money he gets from his job goes to his tuition, which they're charging us through the nose, by the way. Nothing wrong with that. It's a free country, da-da-da-da-da-da. But Rohan is not going to UC Santa Cruz for free. Trust me. The only reason I still know he's in school is because they keep cashing our checks. Anyway, that being said, even if we said, okay, Rohan, let's get you a car. I know it's tough out there. I get it. And I do get it. Let's say we got him a car, like some $3,000 beater or something, right? The expense of having a car anywhere, but especially in California, is a non-starter for someone who is a student. Folks, I just went through this. I told you about my daughter We dropped her off in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago. I mean, she has her car. Let me run down all the considerations. Most of you know this, but for those of you who don't, let me run down some of the considerations that you have to take into account when you decide whether or not you're going to get your kid who goes to school out of state a car so they can get around, right? I mean, he cannot be insured with our insurance. Our, that's me and my wife. He's on our insurance right now in Pennsylvania. But we can't insure him in California. He has to get a separate policy that's all his own. He has to get his own auto insurance in California. Not to mention the cost of gas, which is running $3, $4, $5 a gallon out there, depending on what part of the state you're in. Parking. Parking permits, maintenance on the car. Now, if you buy them a beater, you know, if you buy them this rust bucket to save money, you're probably going to have to put money into the car to make sure not only that it runs, but to make sure that it keeps running. There's annual registration, there's inspections, there's all sorts of costs and expenses that go with owning a car as a sophomore in college. So I had to tell you guys, one of the first things I told my wife when we talked about this text that we received from Rohan was, I said, look, he's got five other roommates and friends outside of those roommates. There's a reason none of them have a car, because they're sophomores in college and they just have to make do. Look, my wife made a wonderful point. She said, look, you know, Rohan just has to learn that when you go to the store, you can't buy everything you want to get. You have to buy as much as you can comfortably carry. It's like living in Manhattan. You know, we don't have cars in New York when we lived in New York. I mean, literally, my wife and I would buy as much from the Gristiti's or, you know, name your store, that we could carry back with us to our apartment, to our junior four. And you have to just go to the store more often during the course of a week, a month, a year. You have to go more often because you're bringing back less, because you can only bring back what you can carry. Okay. Is that inconvenient? Absolutely. Does it work with a college-age student's schedule, academic and social? Probably not, but it kind of is what it is. You're going to school out of state, you're on your own kind of, you kind of just got to make do. But that being said, I have to say, in my opinion, and I keep saying sophomore, in my opinion, a college sophomore does not need a car. You have no ability to contribute to the expenses that it would take to own a car. You don't make enough money to even just pay for gas. Even if I covered all the expenses, purchase the car, the insurance, your parking permit, you don't have enough money for gas. So, my wife did a wonderful job. She did some research, and my wife's name is Donna, by the way. She's a wonderful woman. Absolutely gorgeous, by the way. She just celebrated her birthday recently. I have to say that my wife did some research, and she found out that there's a program at his school where the students can register for and rent Zip cars. Zip cars, they've been around for, oh my gosh, at least 20 years, if not longer. Basically, it's like city bike programs. You know, you rent Arturo, you know, you rent the car for however many hours you need, and then you bring it back to a location, and that is that. You know, it's not like renting a car for a day or a week. You rent it for a few hours, get you to and from the store, turn it back in, so on and so forth. We even talked about the fact that, so we'll pay for an Uber for Rohan to go to the store twice a month, let's say. Even if it's him and his friends, him and his roommates, whatever, that's fine. Anything is going to be cheaper than buying this kid a car as a sophomore in college. So, folks, trust me, I am speaking from experience. He is not wrong to want a car. Absolutely not, right? I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. I did a horrible job as a young adult. My father gave me a BMW, a 320i BMW, when I graduated from college. I moved out to the Bay Area for about a year and a half after I got out of school, after I graduated from Carleton College. And, you know, my father used to work with my uncle. Work for my uncle Elmer. We talked about him a few episodes ago, owned a body shop. Now this car, I think it was an 86, something like that. It had been totaled in a crash, but my uncle Elmer, genius that he was. Now he had that car, all the dents removed, brand new paint job. I mean, this car was clean. Oh my God. So imagine a 22-year-old Cyrus farmer driving around the Bay Area and eventually Los Angeles in this beautiful 320i BMW. Okay, so this is an example of how young people don't actually put everything into the equation. I think I'm very, very well balanced and thoughtful individual. But at 22, 23, 24, I also lacked some maturity as well. And one of the things that became a huge issue early on and throughout my ownership of the car was I didn't make enough money, I thought, to pay for meters. Folks, you go park, right? And it costs you what? 25 cents, 50 cents, $1.75, even, let's say, to park for 2 or 3 hours. And I didn't have, quote unquote, that kind of money. I did, but I didn't have it when I was parking all the time. So what did I do? I racked up a number of parking tickets, both in Northern California and in Southern California when I took the car down there after I got off my my first tour. I did a play, and we did a 30-city tour. So after that, I picked up the car and brought it down to Los Angeles. Folks, this literal lack of responsibility on my part ended up accruing like $500 worth of parking tickets. And like an idiot, I'm like, they're going to put a boot on the car, which they did. And like an idiot, I'm like, take the car. It'll be fine. I'll get another car. What was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. I'm 22, 23 years old. So obviously, the car was taken after they put the boot on it. That led to a much, much larger ramifications later on in life. I'll tell you about that story later, involving my wife. I'll tell you about that in another episode. But that being said, I just wasn't thinking because I was a young adult. So all that is to say that, and we have yet to have this conversation with Rohan, by the way, but we will have it with him over the next couple of days. And we'll just kind of just walk him through all the things that I've walked you through tonight and explain that no matter how easy having a car would make your life, we're going to give you some kind of supplement so that we can get you some Ubers or sign you up on the Zipcar program, and you'll be able to get to A to B, and you'll survive, and you'll make it through graduation and become a young adult. And once you become a young adult officially and get out of school, we'll get you a car then, wherever you may decide to land. So, that is Rohan needs a car. All right. Folks, before we go any further, I want to remind you that this show is all about the good life. And we do everything that we can to promote the good life and also to celebrate others living the good life. With that being said, do not forget to like, do not forget to subscribe, do not forget to tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell anyone with ears about the joy you receive from listening to and watching the Stomp the Tea podcast. We are going to be here for you week in, week out, as always. And, you know, as we like to say around here, whether you like it or not, we're going to be here week in, week out. So don't forget to tell your friends. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to subscribe. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the acquisitions that happened in the NFL and in the NBA. Let's talk a little bit NFL first, because that's more recent. I got to say, I was really happy for Zach Bond. Obviously, Saquon Barkley got a new contract, a new extension. The Eagles ripped up his contract and basically are paying him $20 million a year. Good for him. He did a wonderful job this season. Zach Bond, though, is the linebacker for the Eagles. We acquired him after he played with the Saints. This is his first year this past season as a full-time starter, and he did a tremendous job. He was a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. He just agreed to a contract with the Eagles that I believe is going to pay him $15.5 million over 3 years. You know, $15.5 million per season for the next 3 years. So good for Zach Bond. I'm happy for him. It's great. It's a good number for the team. It's a good number for Zach Bond. It was not top of the market. He's not making Roquan Smith money. He's not making 18, 19, 20 million a year. But the Eagles smartly did not insult him by trying to get him for 10, 11, 12 million, 12 million a year. So I was happy that happened. Chicago Bears are going to be a very interesting team with the additions they've made to their offensive line over the last couple of days. Thuney especially. I think Chicago, with Ben Johnson there, you might want to watch out for Chicago. Now, I have friends who are down on Caleb Williams because he was so up and down performance-wise as a rookie. But you got to remember, Caleb got sacked, I believe, 65, 68 times as a rookie. And it's not easy to deal with. He still showed flashes of talent. even though his offensive line wasn't that good at all. He had plenty of weapons, but his line wasn't that good. I love what Ben Johnson's doing as far as shoring up that line. And who knows? They'll probably shore it up even more in the draft and with free agency starting next week. So far, so good for the Chicago Bears. Let's talk once again about that team down I-95 from here in the Philadelphia area, the Washington Commanders. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. They acquired Deebo Samuel. Deebo is going to help that team. I'm telling you, folks, the NFC East is going to be a battle royale between the Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington Commanders, even the Dallas Cowboys. And who knows what the Giants are going to do at quarterback, if they ever get a quarterback. They have talent on both sides of the ball on that roster. They could be a tough out as well. Winning the NFC East is going to be the number one priority for the Philadelphia Eagles, and it will not be an easy task. I'm telling you this right now. You guys probably already know this, but I'm telling you in case you don't. NFC East is going to be a dogfight. The Commanders are for real. Let's see what happens. I have a question that occurred to me. You know, we talk about the NFL acquisitions. The NBA trade deadline occurred a little while ago. You know, we talked about the Luka Doncic trade from Dallas to Los Angeles. And let me just say this out loud right now. I was completely wrong about the Luka Doncic trade. I mean, this thing has been a gold mine for the Lakers. I mean, I think the Lakers are number two right now, the number two seed in the West. I might be wrong about that. Is it possible the Lakers are the number two seed in the West? I should have looked that up before I started taping. But I know they're doing well and they're playing really well. The Lakers could win it all this year. And Luka Doncic is going to be a very big reason why. He's played really well. He's given LeBron new life. I can't remember, I have to say, a trade that has looked this bad this quickly in any sport. I mean, this trade is a disaster for the Dallas Mavericks. Now, which brings me to the question, who has it worse, the Dallas Mavericks or the Cleveland Browns? Folks, Dallas just lost Kyrie Irving for the season. He may not be back until next February. Who knows? But he has a bad knee. I think he tore an ACL, so he's done for the year. As a result, they're shutting down Anthony Davis. Why bring him back for wear and tear on his body? You have a fan base that is absolutely livid that Doncic was traded to begin with. I mean, can it get much worse for the Dallas Mavericks? Can it? I'm not so sure. It can always get worse, but can it get much worse? I'm not so sure. This trade has been a disaster for the Mavericks. And I got to tell you, as much as I thought that Anthony Davis would help the Mavericks, a key mistake that the Dallas Mavericks made in executing this trade was they didn't trade Luka Doncic to the Eastern Conference. I don't care who you traded Luka to. You could have traded him to the Milwaukee Bucks. You could have traded him to the Cleveland Cavaliers. You could have even, as much sense as it makes after the fact, you could have even traded Luka Doncic to the Boston Celtics. And they probably would have given you their right arm to get Luka Doncic. Trust me. And if Luka had won a title with any of those teams, Celtics included, it would not have been as bad as if Luka wins a championship with the Lakers. That was a horrible job by the Dallas Mavericks front office. Boy, oh boy, I was completely wrong about this trade. 1,000%. They should not have traded him. And if they were going to trade him, they should have taken bids. And if they took bids, I know they couldn't take bids because, you know, the fan base would have basically burned the building down knowing that Luka's going to be traded. Okay, fine. But you could have traded him to the Eastern Conference if you're Dallas. That's what you could have done. Okay, that's Dallas. What about the Cleveland Browns? Now, this Deshaun Watson trade that happened 3 years ago has been an absolute disaster for the Cleveland Browns. Watson played 4 years before sitting out two and then being acquired by the Cleveland Browns. Now, in those 4 years, I believe Deshaun Watson played 16, 15, and 16 games. So 16, 12, and 15 games. He was almost always on the field for the Houston Texans. It's been the exact opposite for Cleveland. I believe he's played 19 games total in 3 years for the Cleveland Browns. And when he's been in the lineup, he hasn't been good at all. He's been downright bad at times. And folks, let me tell you this. Before we go any further, I was a Deshaun Watson fan. I mean, Deshaun Watson played the Eagles at least one game. And Deshaun Watson, he could play for me anytime, any day, any year. He was, his first 4 years in the league, he was so dynamic and got better each and every single year. He could run, but really, more importantly, he could throw. Deshaun Watson was a tremendous player. Was he an All-Pro? No. But he did make 3 Pro Bowls. I know that doesn't count the same way as an All-Pro, but he did make 3 Pro Bowls. And wasn't all, I think he made the all-rookie team as well. So that's 4 years and 4 years of productivity that somebody thought he was at least decent. I know for a fact he was decent. I watched him play. But he has not worked at all in Cleveland. And worse than being bad, he's been bad and he's been hurt. And this contract that he signed. Look, I can't kill Cleveland. You had to take a shot. You were not going to get Deshaun Watson. And who knew what Deshaun Watson was going to be when he actually signed with the team? But you weren't going to get Deshaun Watson without guaranteeing that contract, if you're Cleveland. He was going to go to Atlanta. He was going to go to one or two other options. But he wasn't going to go to Cleveland. And so if you're Cleveland, hey, you take a shot. You know, you do the best you can. I can't kill him for that. But it has not worked at all, even a little bit. And now Myles Garrett wants to walk out the door to boot. Great. So who has it worse? Cleveland Browns, Dallas Mavericks. Who has less hope for the future? Cleveland Browns or the Dallas Mavericks? I'm going to say it's very, very close. I really, really am. I think it's very close. But to be fair, I believe that the Dallas Mavericks have it worse. Why? Because Cleveland, as we outlined, I believe last week, has a boatload of draft picks for this year's coming draft, 2025. And they're going to get more when they trade Myles Garrett, which they will do. They're going to have to trade Myles Garrett. He doesn't want to be there. And they need to trade him because they have some cap issues coming up in the next 3 years that are going to cripple potentially that franchise. So they got to get kids. They got to get rid of Myles Garrett. They can't pay people. But they at least have a chance to see a glimmer of positivity moving forward. Who knows what Dallas is going to be? We don't know when Kyrie is coming back. We don't know what it's going to look like when he comes back. Who knows about Klay Thompson? Anthony Davis, he's always a two-week injury stint waiting to happen. I'm not being negative about Anthony Davis. I'm just saying he does have an injury history. So I think Dallas right now is definitely in worse shape, presently and in the future, than the Cleveland Browns. All right, folks. We've come to the part of the show that both you and I have grown to love. I have a question to ask you. What are you drinking tonight? Well, I can tell you what I'm drinking. I am drinking Litchfield Cask Strength Bourbon. Folks, I'm going to give you some information about this. We'll run through some numbers, and then I'll tell you what I think about the actual product. Litchfield Cask Strength Bourbon is distilled by the Litchfield Distillery in Litchfield, Connecticut. This is a regional product. It comes in at a very respectable 61% ABV. That makes it 122 proof. It's aged at least 4 years. And the mash bill is 70% corn, 25% rye, and 5% barley. Now, I got this particular bottle. I believe it was on sale. Not sure if it was on sale or not. But I got it for $45.50. Tremendous pricing if you like the product. Well, I can tell you, folks, this Litchfield Cask Strength Bourbon is spicy. You're going to hear me say spicy a lot with higher proof whiskeys. Why do I say spicy so often? Because you can taste the proof. Almost any higher proof whiskey is going to have a little bit of bite, if not a lot of bite. Now, the key, as we've said many, 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 many times before, the key to making a higher proof whiskey drinkable is lowering that spice level to a tolerable amount. And that's what Litchfield does here. It's spicy, but it's smooth. It's pleasantly sweet. I can tell you, I would not have thought that Connecticut was capable of producing a bourbon like this Litchfield Cask Strength Straight Bourbon whiskey. Nothing against Connecticut. I spent time in Connecticut, but I'm surprised. I'm surprised that I like it as much as I do. And again, for $45, $50, completely worth having in your bar. Please do. All right, folks, that is the show for tonight. My name is Cyrus Farmer. You are watching and listening to the Stomp the Tea podcast. We will be back next week, and we will be giving you all sorts of pertinent and impertinent information. Make sure you tune in. And as always, we'll see you on the first tee.